Okay, so we're here today with Chris Page. And Chris, you know, I'm not exactly sure of what your job title is, but you do a lot with obstacle races. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you talk a lot more about that. But so that's what our first thing will be. What do you do?
Well, I think my official job title, I think, is trophy husband, is what I like to tell people. My main job in life is I'm a stay-at-home dad. You know, I used to be an insurance agent for State Farm, and then I worked for the YMCA of the Quad Cities. But when my son was born, we kind of both made a decision that we're fortunate enough where my wife's job is good enough where one of the two of us could stay home, and so it was me. And so 8 years ago, I figured out how to change diapers and all that good stuff. But during that time, you know, I've got some really good friends that I have met. I have this obsession with the TV show Survivor. Mm-hmm. Play a lot of online Survivor games, and a couple of friends that I really got close with in the game. After the game was over, got, you know, exchanged real life information, because it's all online's all, you know, your posting name or your fake ID.
Right.
And we, you know, we introduced ourselves, and I got invited to go do a charity where they were having a bunch of people from Survivor and the Amazing Race. I went out to that. It was in Louisville, Kentucky. It was Cozars Children's Hospital. It was probably one of the most rewarding things I've done outside of my family. Really made a difference in the lives of kids. I'm a big kid at heart, so when you think of people donating money for charities, it's usually, you know, for research in something or you know, to buy, you know, machinery or something like that to help the kids out. Cozars charity was awesome. These guys bought TVs and PlayStations and things like that and games, so
the kids want.
Right, and they could roll them right into their room, and they could a kid could be a kid. That's what I loved about it, and I got to meet a lot of these kids. And Cozars is not necessarily a kid with terminal disease, but they're kids that really just have had a really hard knock in life.
Sure.
You know, whether they're missing an arm or, you know, they have suffered a head trauma of some kind, where their life is going to be completely different for the rest of their lives. So that really changed me. I went and did that for the 3 years in a row we did that until they discontinued the charity. But during that time, I made a couple really good friends. Well, one day I get a call, and my friend Mark, who's a CEO of my company, he says, "Hey, I just did this thing called Mud Run." And I was like, "What's that? And why would you do something like that?" And he's like, "Oh, he goes, I got an obstacle course. You run a 5K. It's in the mud. There's obstacles everywhere. You climb. You go under, you know, under the water." And I was like, "Yeah, it sounds horrible. Why? He's like, "Oh, it's a lot of fun." He goes, "I think we should do one of these." And I was like, "Oh, well, what do you want me to do? I don't know anything about it." You know, at the time, I was about 265 pounds. I'm not the most athletic guy there is. And he's like, "Well, I just need someone to help with, like, making the Facebook page and marketing and stuff like that. You're good at that." I'm like, "I don't know why you think I'm good at it, but okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot, you know." Well, now fast forward 4 years, and now I actually know what I'm doing. I do the marketing for the page. We have four guys that do this. And Mark is kind of the Richard Dawson, steps out in front of anybody and does all the emceeing and all the little things on race day. I handle our Facebook page and any social media. We have another guy that does our web page, and then we have another guy which is really actually the reason that this works is he's an excavator. He's a professional excavator, so he builds our courses for us.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's just it. You know, it's literally thousands of dollars that we save by having a gentleman that works with us build our course. So we do three main courses or races a year. We have our Mud Run, which is a 5K through the woods. You get really dirty. And you get to do a bunch of obstacles. Then we have our Urban Run, which is a lot like the TV show The Amazing Race. You run station to station. You get a clue, do a challenge.
That's cool.
It's a lot of fun. I think we'll try to do for the Cub Scouts.
That's awesome.
And then the last one, we go back to our Mud Run course, but we don't really use hardly any of the obstacles, but we fill it full of zombies at Halloween time.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of getting to run at your own pace and you versus a course, now you have to run, and then you have an area we call the Red Zone where zombies are in. And the zombies can only chase you in that certain area, but you're not running at a pace that you want. So, and what we do is we give you balloons. You have a belt with three balloons on it, and if those represent your lives,
right?
So if you make it through the race with at least one of the balloons left, that means you lived. Now, if you have all of your balloons tagged, you have the option. We have professional makeup artists there. You can become a zombie and chase people yourselves. We also provide, you know, all the zombies there is. You know, it's a fantastic situation we have. We have the ROTC cadets that we make up as zombies, and they're awesome. They love it. I'll get you some pictures for that.
Definitely.
Just to show you what it's like. But these guys are great. They really get into it. We run the race for about 2 hours in the morning. And then people, you know, they can, if they, like I said, that they get become killed, uh-huh. they can become zombies later and chase on if they want. Now, we have not a lot of people do that because they're just so dead tired.
Right.
And our zombies are dead tired, by the way, too. It's an interesting thing to see them. They literally look like zombies when they're walking off the course because they're so tired from chasing people all day long.
They don't have to act anymore.
Right. So those are our three main races that we do. And they're a lot of fun. They're all in Louisville. I do want to bring one to the Quad Cities. It's a... the Urban Run, the Station to Station one, like, yeah. amazing race. I've actually talked to a few businesses here in town about doing it. The hardest part is you never know how many people are going to sign up.
Right.
Yeah.
I would do it for 10 people, but I would. The only thing would really hold me back is I needed some sort of sponsorship because the insurance is the big cost.
Yeah.
When you have the insurance, is, you know, it's well over $1,000 to do that.
Sure.
And if I had to pay, say, a fictitious number, $1,250 for insurance,
right.
and then 20 teams signed up, then I mean it still would be worth it to say, hey, did you have a good time? But
right.
I mean, I still be that. That's the only thing I care
be
about.
Yep.
I care about having, you know, making sure people have a good time and whatnot. And plus, it's a really good thing for the community. Like, I don't want to mention names yet, but one of the grocery stores I talked to is like, you know, they'll be like, hey, we can donate a pallet of food, and one of your challenges can be bagging up the groceries at our store, and then the food bank here in town can have a van or something outside, and they deliver to the van.
That's awesome.
And at the end of the day, we'll just get the rest of the food to them as well.
Right.
But that's a challenge that they would do on the Amazing Race, is like, hey, take this here and deliver it there. It's
right.
the same concept.
Right.
And then I have a couple of other food places that are interested in doing a eating challenge. I'm really interested in seeing how a lot of this goes. So,
wow.
And then we would incorporate things like, you know, go to this location and get a picture taken, because our race is, you always bring your camera, your phone with you.
Sure.
So you take a picture to say you got here.
You were here.
And there'll be someone that says, here's a clue to the next thing. So the challenge can be, you know, building a puzzle that is completely white. All you have to do is the edges, and you don't know what the shape of the puzzle is. All you have is pieces. That could be one puzzle. Or it could be, you know, scarfing down a bunch of ice cream and, you know, giving yourself a brain freeze. That could be that could be another challenge. Or the challenge itself could be like, hey, find this. This is your only clue. So it's a lot of different things you do. So it's definitely not going to be the fastest team wins. It's whoever runs the smartest wins.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. Wow. So you've held these events now for how many years?
Let's see.
Three.
We're halfway through our fourth year of operation. So we've done 4 mud runs because we just finished the last one up in May.
Sure.
I got back from that a couple weeks ago. It was a blast. August is our urban run.
Mm-hmm.
Urban. This will be our third one. We took the year off last year from the urban run because that's the most expensive run to put on.
Yeah.
And we've had the exact same number of people every year, but we have hopefully a sponsor coming in. So this year, because the sponsor came to us and said, hey, we really liked it. That would, what would it take to bring it back?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we gave them a number and they did not flinch. So
wow.
I'm hoping that they go with it. It's a very good opportunity. And that actually is my favorite race, is the urban one.
Sure.
Because it's the most fun. People come across and are like, oh, I had so much fun.
Right.
The mud run, they say they had so much fun, but they more or less say, oh, that was a lot of fun.
Because
they're dead tired.
Well, that's like, I've done a couple mud runs, and I did one. It wasn't necessarily a mud run this past weekend, but it was an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
run. And now next weekend I will be doing a mud one, but when I got done with the event, I'm just like going up to the event, like when I woke up that morning, I'm like, I don't want to do this, why do I sign up for these things? And then I did it and it was fun, but then when I got done, I'm like, I'm exhausted, why do I do these things? And now I'm like, oh, it's a good time, like I really enjoyed myself.
There's a whole community out on Facebook. I've just, you know, that's my job, is
mm-hmm.
to go through and find these people. There's a group, this is a great name too, they're called the Crazy Mutter Muckers, which you have to be careful when you say. But they are, they have 1,750 followers nationwide.
Wow.
And they brought, I sent a little coupon code up on their page saying, hey, it'd be great to have you come. And I invited their leader or
mm-hmm.
captain or whatever. His name is Kevin Jones. I invited him to come and said, hey, you know, if you can come the distance, he's way up in Ohio. I'll let you run for free. He brought 35 people with him.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, and they come, and every, this is how it works on their page. And most pages are this way. they talk on Monday, hey, who's going to this? Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, hey, are we're finalizing plans. And then Wednesday, hey, who can you ride with me? I have room in my car.
Right.
And then Thursday, you know, it's kind of quiet. Then Friday, all right, we're ready to go. This is going to be awesome. You know, I got a coupon code. Let's go do this. And then Saturday, they start posting pictures to your website. Hey, look at this. And their website. Awesome. And Sunday, they talk about their times. And then Monday, what's the next race?
Yep. Yeah.
And that's how they work. And it's every single week. It's, wow. It blows my mind because there's races out there galore. It's interesting. The United States, in the East Coast, up into right about the Iowa, Chicago area, thousands of races.
You get west,
and then you're talking in the hundreds. It's just, it drops off. Well, because if you think about it, places like Arizona, can't put together a mud run.
Right.
You know, California, you can, but the cost of leasing land is expensive out there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's real. I mean, it's a nationwide thing. There's no doubt about it. But when we first started this business, we decided, are we going to do this and what's it going to take?
Yep.
We put a map of the United States up and we put a tag, a little pin in for every race. And it was amazing how many were on the East Coast and way up in the northeast part of the country.
Just filled it all out on that side.
And you can see, okay, well, this is the places that have farms. Or this is the places that have areas to do this. And then when you look at the West, there's places they can do it. But you can say, okay, well, this is where this is expensive. You know, it's, mm-hmm. When we first started, we would pay, our lease was $5,000 for the use of the land for 2 days.
Mm.
So that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money just to say, hey, can I use your land for 2 days?
Well, that's what I was going to talk to you about, because Andy and I, we were just talking yesterday about starting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like leading up to that first race? Knowing that you had money out and you had to cover that. And how nerve-wracking was that? And what was that like?
Well, this is a business amongst friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have that in the back of your mind.
Sure.
Our first year was that we had a $25,000 operating loan, which, as far as businesses are concerned, not very much.
Right, it's small, right.
And but still, to me, other than buying a car, I never borrowed that much money.
Right.
And we all have this, you know, agreement. You know, if this doesn't work out, you know, this is your percentage of it, because I don't own, even though there's four of us, I don't own 25% of the company.
Gotcha.
In fact, our CEO, who put up a lot of the money,
mm-hmm.
owns 51%.
Gotcha.
And then the three of us own a division of the rest.
Right.
So I don't have as much exposure, but it's still, you know, for me, like I said at the beginning, I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm spending my wife's money. Mm-hmm. I don't mind spending her money, but I have guilt, you know, saying if this were to fail, which it's not going to, but,
right.
you know, 4 years ago when we did this, if this were to fail, I would feel horrible that I'm having to be on the hook for X amount of dollars that are not my dollars. You know, it's as a man,
yeah.
When you're not the main breadwinner, and this is something a lot of people have asked me, like, how do you feel about the fact that your wife is more or less, you know, the head of the household? I say, I'm fine with that. The only time I ever feel bad is, like, you know, spending her money on my own without saying, quote unquote, you have an allowance. You know?
Right.
You know, and she's and to make it abundantly clear, my wife has always said, you know, this is our money. You know, if I were to pay you to take care of him, you know, you would be paid a lot of money and whatnot. Right. But I still have that, you know, it's very tough for me to put her on the line for something like this. But also, I get a lot of joy out of this. This really makes me happy. I have not been paid yet by this company, because we put all our profits back in to pay off loans and costs. And I have always taken a look at it as the man that created Under Armour did not pay himself for 8 years.
I didn't know that.
That's a long time to not take a payment. But now look where he's at.
Right.
So
everywhere.
Right. And so I feel as though, you know, if I can take that philosophy and say I'm being paid in what I get out of it, you know, as a human being,
mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine with that.
Sure.
And it is really cool when people, you know, when they cross the finish line, they put their hands above their head typically, and they're like, you know, wow, I did this.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mud runs more of anything else is, I can't believe I didn't die. the urban race is it's a different kind of elation, because they get done and they're like, I want to turn and do that again.
Yeah.
When are you guys going to do this next year?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting, you know, we've had the ability for people to sign up for races right there at the finish line, and they always turn around and say, man, I want to sign up for that right now. I'm like, well, there you go. But they don't do it, because they're like, everyone wants to hear, well, what are you going to put in next year?
Yeah.
What are you going to do next year?
What am I getting into?
That's one of the things in any company, you know, Tough Mudder, they're the industry standard. And what's interesting, they've only been around 5 years. And
they're kidding. I didn't think that. I thought they were pretty young.
Yep. They're the industry standard. And to give you an idea, and these are these are approximates because I don't want to have Tough Mudder say, hey, what are you doing? So these are approximate money. Mm-hmm. We charge early bird pricing to run our mud run, $35. They charge about $120.
Yeah.
Now, they have fire, and they have electricity, and they have big vats full of ice.
Right.
We advertise ourselves as a family run where you can take your kids with you. but they're like, their run is totally different. Their run is push yourself to your limits. What are you afraid of? What can you conquer?
Right.
You know, and yeah. Which is great. And people, they have people that will pay that money. I'd love to be that way. But I also don't want to say, you know what, I just took my family to go run your race, Chris, and it cost me $500.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
In fact, we actually do where a father can take his daughter, and we will just charge the cost of the daughter's t-shirt and the medal. We charge $15.
Cool.
And then the insurance costs.
Right.
That's all we charge if you want to run with your child. And that's it's so cool, some of the things that we come across, because you have a father and a daughter, a mother and a son. You see, we had a bachelorette party.
Yes.
Showed up. And that was amazing because I was like, you know, this is the most unique bachelorette party I've ever seen. And they had brought these two little girls with them, and they were the
flower girls.
And I'm like, you know, and they were getting married the next day.
Holy cow.
Wow. I was like, wow. I was like, we've never had, this is me knocking on the desk. We've never had a serious injury. We have had scrapes and cuts. Yeah. We've never had any broken bones. We never had anyone. With people in Tough Mudder or Rugged Man, I don't know which one, but these main ones, there's been people that have died.
Yeah.
Sure.
That can happen.
Sure.
But that's also when you put thousands of people in a small area.
We
don't do that. You know, we have 50 to 100 people per wave. But it's always in the back of my mind. I mean, I would never be able to forgive myself if someone was seriously injured on our course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see these little girls going through there, and I'm like, oh, thank God this is not a very big hill here that we have built. You know, because we have definitely a different standard. But we also get told by these people that, you know, like the crazy mutterbuckers that are like gung-ho, let's see what can push me. They say, hey, you guys have a great course. I love it. This is, you know, they ranked us as far as difficulty. They say, you know, you're between a 6 and a 7. I go, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go out and say, do you need me to give you a ride off the course? No one wants that.
Right. So what kind of studying did you have to do beforehand? Because you said you didn't know a whole lot about. So what are some of the obstacles that you guys have added on and has evolved from the first year to now here? I mean, especially with the mud runs and that, because you got to keep it fresh for these guys. They're doing it every weekend.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I'll tell you a story because it's hard for me to talk, as you probably figured out. Andy's really looking at me like, yeah, just shut up.
No, this is great.
It's great.
We had, for our first 3 years, we had a course that we leased. And in that course, we had, at the end of that third year, it was getting to the point where we didn't know if we wanted to do it again. It was just really break even.
Sure.
I love how I'm making my hand signals for everyone's listening here. And I'm trying to describe what I'm doing here. We didn't know, you know, we kind of made a decision, you know, that maybe we'd move on. Well, then within a couple months of that, the guy that owned the course had a heart attack and died.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it was a horrible thing. But I love, his name was Malcolm. He's a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
I loved him a lot. He was a good guy. And he was always like, yeah, do whatever you want with the course. But he also, it was a farm. So we had certain obstacles that were permanent, but back in the woods.
Yeah.
But we also had areas that we went through that was farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't ideal, but he was the one that took a chance on us. Well, when he passed away, then we had another gentleman come up to us and say, hey, I have another piece of land. Would you like to use it? So that gets into what do you do to change things?
Right.
Well, we had certain obstacles that we had. I think we bought like a 500 used tires. And we was like, well, we have these tires. How can we repurpose them?
Yeah.
Well, what we had used them before was you had to carry a tire through a course we had cut through the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do, is you just carried a tire, and it was a heavy thing to carry. And we had different size tires for, you know, adults and kids.
Right.
Well, I said, how can we repurpose these tires? What we did was we set up more like what the football players do with the high stepping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And at the end of it, we buried half of a big tractor tire, and they had to jump through or crawl through, like military crawl through a couple of them then.
Cool.
So, and that was a really unique way to do that. We also added, the only way to describe it for someone listening is if you think of D-Day and they have all these iron crosses
on the
beach. Well, what we did is we created obstacles like that out of dirt. So they had to climb over, and then there's a big pit, like a shell had gone off. Then you'd climb up, and there'd be another big mound, and then a big pit full, and we filled them half full of water.
So what do they call, like a steeplechase or something?
Exactly.
Like
steeplechase, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then we have you ever seen the movie or the TV show Wipeout?
Yeah.
There's a little thing in Wipeout where they're standing, and but behind them is water, and they're shuffling by the side, and a boxing comes out, punches them in the face. Well, we set that up, but with no hand hit them in the head. And if they slipped and fell, because it was only a quarter of an inch wide, and they'd fall in the water and mud. So we built those, and we spent $5,000 on lumber. Now, we built all the stuff ourselves. So we saved on labor.
Yeah,
a lot of labor.
Yeah,
but it's $5,000 just in lumber we put into this new course, and then we also repurposed a lot of our old stuff. We also are the only place that has custom built-in showers. So at the end, instead of someone hosing you off, or usually what they do is people will bring in a fire truck and they'll just hose you.
Yeah.
And you sometimes have to pay for it.
Yeah.
We have a water line we have run in. We have electricity we have run in. All you have to do is go up when you're ready to go, and you turn the shower on, and it's actually more powerful than the shower in my house. Because we have a 2-inch line going into it.
That's good. So. That's awesome. And that's all about, I mean, that's a customer service mm-hmm. perk, you know, because that sets you guys apart. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that, I mean, you guys are running that urban run. Mm-hmm. Do you have much competition with that? Because I don't hear a whole lot about that around here.
None.
So that you I know guys of. Are the ones that are doing that right now.
Yeah, there's something I think is semi-similar, and I think it's out maybe New Hampshire area. And I'm sure there is. Someone's doing something.
You just don't hear about it.
I've just never heard anything like it. It's a unique race. There's a lot of races out there unique. Like I said, I love it. It's my favorite thing. I wish I could do it. I can never do it.
What's the distance on that? It just depends on where you're going.
Oh, we've gone as far as 10 miles.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Is
it running, or can you drive a car?
No.
That's so it's all running.
I'll break down the first one.
Yeah.
We got time, right?
Yeah.
We got time.
The first year, you can edit out the stuff you don't like. Andy was telling me how much he likes to spend time editing these things out afterwards. He's like his favorite hobby.
He loves doing it.
Now what happens is I forget. And so I'll listen to it before I post it, and then there'll be like a big blank in the middle where I'm like,
"Oh, I'm supposed to edit
that out.
I gotta
go back in there now."
Well, the problem is when you're looking at how many people listen, you're like, "Wow, they stopped listening at the half an hour mark.
Why is that?
This is almost over. Let me tell you, I'm almost done." So our first year it was a real cool thing. We really blew this up the first year, and this is just us not knowing what we were doing.
You're right.
And the part that we not knowing what we're doing is after the race was over. That's what just kills me. Louisville has an area called the Belvedere, and it is the most beautiful area. It overlooks the Ohio River. There's this huge hotel. It's a twin tower hotel. One side's all suites. One side's high end rooms. It's called. I'll get back to it. I can't think of the name of it now. The Galt House. It's called the Galt House. It's a beautiful area. So the Galt House overlooks it, shades it in, and there's this huge park area. That's where we had starting line and finish line registration is all there. It's huge. Beautiful. So our first year of races, we had, 14 challenges. They hit the Muhammad Ali Museum. They hit the Louisville Slugger Museum. One of the challenges was we had a board, a 4x4, I'm sorry, and we had started the nails, and you had to take a Louisville Slugger baseball bat and hammer
cool.
it. That was
nice.
And that was actually Louisville Slugger minor league baseball stadium. We had that done outside.
Yeah.
We went to the Churchill Downs,
mm-hmm.
and we had 2x4s that we had built with ropes on either end. And what you did was you stood on the ground. There would be two 2x4s, and so I stood in front, and my partner stood behind me, put the ropes over our shoulders, and you had to walk like a horse. And we had a little course to do at Churchill Downs, which was really neat. So we hit all the big areas.
Wow.
And we also had several teams that were actually on the TV show The Amazing Race that were there. Dave and Mary Connolly, they were the coal mining team from Kentucky, so they're known in Kentucky real well.
Yeah.
They were at the finish line putting the awards or the medals on people as they finished. Cool. Our first year was really cool. We had a local travel agency donate airfare included, full week's trip to Cancun for the winter. And the team that won is really cool. We couldn't have asked for a better way for us to finish.
Why? Yeah.
The team that won was a gentleman and his sister. His sister had just gotten over being horribly ill. She was so ill, her lungs, she couldn't fly. Her lungs were still in that bad of shape. So he took his friend who had just got back from Afghanistan and took him to Cancun for that week.
That's cool.
Yeah, there was a really neat brother sister one. They're actually all over our website right now because I put those. We change the photos up there every now and then.
Yeah.
I've got him on the cover right now.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it was a great story. After it was over, this is where we run into the things that we don't know what we're doing. We had brought in 7 singers from American Idol and had them sing a concert out there.
Yeah.
Nobody showed up.
Wow.
Because I told them, I said, we're good at doing the races, but we're doing horrible at promoting music. Yeah, so the thing was, is anyone that had ran the race could go to the concert for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just charging $5 to get into the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody came. It was horrible.
What do you think it was? Because I'm guessing you guys promoted it just as heavy as you did
it. Stoddard and Taylor Hicks.
No. I can't. To be honest with you, because it was 4 years ago now. I don't remember who all sang, but the cost of flying them in and the cost of their hotel rooms was what we would have made money on that race had we not had to pay all that. And I was surprised, but you know. Again, that was the one part we didn't know what we were doing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we still had to pay for the Amazing Race people to come in, and we stayed for them, paid for their hotel rooms, and you know that's something I'm more than happy to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because people actually could pay to run with a Survivor or Amazing Racer, which was kind of a cool thing to do.
That is cool.
And so that was neat. And plus, you know, some of these people I had met before from the Cozairs charity.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, that's probably the low point was that had we not done that.
You guys would
so
have been all
right. We've taken our lumps. We've learned from things. You know, I think we know what we're doing now.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's, I knew that was coming. So yeah, that's where we're at now.
That's
you know, we've got
funny.
We've got we got the amazing or the urban run is coming up in August,
yeah.
And then in September we have the end of September we have the zombie run, and then we have the run with heroes that will be in November. The University of Louisville will set that date. So
that's cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your webpage? Where can they find all this information?
www.survivethestampede.com.
Survivethestampede.com. My brother is really big into mud runs and CrossFit stuff and all that. But he's going to want to know what's going on with these, especially with the price point being where it's at. That's pretty awesome. So really, because travel, that's a big cost. So if he's coming from here down to Louisville, you know, the gas to get there and back. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's our winner right there. Now, our website, a week from today, will be completely redone. We actually have an awesome sponsor. I should at least give them a little bit of a...
Yeah.
They're an East Coast marketing firm. Their name is Target Smart.
Target Smart.
They are... Actually, this is a new thing for them. They are more of a political organization.
Okay.
They handle things... I'm not really allowed to say who they are working for, but they handle direct mail and things like that.
Yeah,
this is Kentucky.
No, this isn't. They're out of Baltimore, Maryland.
They're on the East Coast. Yeah,
Martin O'Malley's from Baltimore, Maryland. He's their own president.
And he's running up his names through his head. It's like, I wonder who it is. I wonder who it is.
Every time I turn around, all I hear on Facebook is Bernie Sanders this and Bernie Sanders that. He's definitely dominating social media right now. But yeah, they're a great company out of the East Coast. It's just from a friend of mine, another guy I know through Survivor Games and things like that. His dad, he works for his dad in the company. It's a great company.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're really awesome. And then we have a couple other sponsors around there. We work with Dare to Care Food Bank. Every time we have a mud run or the urban run, we have this thing where we like to build a mountain of food.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask everyone to bring a can of food with them as they come out. So we've been working with them forever. Fleet Feet has been a sponsor of ours. It's a local athletic store. And then Kentucky Ale has been on and off with us. The first couple of years, it was really cool because they would do a weekend where we had our own beer that they brewed for the week. It was one of their other beers, but they relabeled it for us. It was really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, so those are the main guys we've been with. So
wow.
So how many people are you guys, on average, pulling into some of these races?
Oh, yeah, that's the one thing I didn't come prepared for.
well, just a ballpark.
Let's see. I want to say it's right around 600 a year. The first year we had... did it 2 days, Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
for the mud runs.
Yeah.
And we pulled about 880 in that first year, but we did it 2 days.
Yeah.
And that was a complete mess. 1 day is enough. You know, so, but yeah, so it's right around 600. And which that's a good number for us. Yeah. You know, I'd like to do where our course can handle up to 2,000 for the day. But
how do you determine that? How do you determine that this is the max capacity? I mean, I guess you look at your obstacles and how many people could be on.
Right, right. We have the obstacles that are set up there that can handle so many people like per minute. But it's a 5K, just barely over 5K long.
Uh-huh.
But we have X amount of people we have go off every 15 minutes.
Gotcha.
That's how we decide.
Flights. Heats.
We fly it, yeah. Yep. That's the other thing we learned. Instead of going through and say, hey, we're going to run this from 9 to 3, well, now we know.
Yeah.
Just set 2 hours worth of run times up, and then once those fill, then add. Because that way you don't have people spread out all day long.
Right. So. Right. Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you done any of the local mud runs?
I got a bad knee. I got a bad shoulder. Last year, my wife keeps telling me I need to take up. I need to take up or continue with my golfing because I've had surgery on my knee from softball, and then last year I was playing basketball. So January of 2013, took a charge, tore my labrum, and I split my bicep tendon. So I had to have my left arm is 3 inches shorter on the inside.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the bones are still the same length.
Right, right, right.
But the bicep attaches. See, it attaches.
Oh, you can see.
Wow. It attaches down there now. So I'm as I get older, I'm falling apart.
Wow.
So I think it's great that people run them. He wants to be, that's the other thing is my son wants me to take him constantly.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to go do this. I want to try this. And, you know, we always unfortunately do it. Their school year is a little bit hinky compared to ours, so we have tons of kids come out when we do these races, and that's when they always plan it is according to their school year, which is fine because I understand that,
right?
But my son's never got a chance to participate in it, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm perfectly happy riding the gator around the course. Hey, you all right? You need water? You know, I enjoy that. You know, that's fine with me. You know, I could do the course if I wanted to do the course. I just some of the climbing I might have a hard time with my arm, but you know, it is what it is, you know. Father Time's undefeated.
That's right.
Which is interesting because the guy that did it is 42 years old. That's the guy that's the same age as me, and he's the guy that won it this year is 42.
Okay. Wow!
Crazy story. The dude's a yogi.
Really?
He never runs. He only does his yoga for exercise and doesn't run on the treadmill. Doesn't lift weights. And the guy is cut. You would not believe how good a shape he is. And he said that. He ran ours in 26 minutes. He said, usually I run a 5K in about 22, and he was very impressed with how, because our course is very hilly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is amazing. I was like, what do you do to work out? He was like, I don't work out. He goes, I just do yoga. I was like, do you run on a treadmill? No. Do you run anything? No.
Wow. Just yoga.
Well, it is, I mean, when you're at one with the universe, you know, like,
you can pretty much do anything, right?
So I did one. There's one up in Sprigville. They call it the Muscle Up Marathon. So it's 2.6 miles. 26 obstacles. So I went up there.
That's a lot of obstacles.
Yeah. In 2.6 miles. Short amount of time. Yeah. So that's a little, that's less than a 5K. And so it ends with a water slide into a creek. And it's a pretty steep water slide. Now, that's usually, everybody thinks like that's the fun way to end it. I don't know how to swim and I'm terrified of water. Like, I don't like water. I medically can't submerge my head underwater, but I have like earplug or whatever that I can put in, but I don't know how to swim. I don't like being in water, and that's how this thing ends. So for everybody else, it's the fun finale, and for me, that's where I'm the most terrified. And I get to the top of this thing, and there's an old man up there like with a hose or something, and it's like, yeah, they put this old guy up here, and I'm like, you're gonna have to talk me down. Here, I'm like, you have to talk me down, and the guy thinks I'm joking with him, and I'm like, seriously, I'm like, I do not want to do this. I'm like, you have to help me down this slide. And so then I don't want to put my head underwater when I land, and it's like probably 4 feet of water into this creek, and I'm going down, and the whole time I'm like tense, but you're just like flying, like it's like steep, and you know, I'm like the 500th person to go down it during the day, so it's slick by this point. And I hit the water, and my feet just plant in the mud in the bottom, and so the whole top part of me just goes like, wow, like right on the face of the water. And I had a red mark on my arm from wrist to elbow for like a week afterwards. And from that, so... But I'll probably do that course again this year. So.
It'll go back.
That's not
It'll
how I expected back. That story to look like.
Well, that one, they have a zip line, and you're probably in the air like, I don't know, 30 feet probably, and you start, and you have to run down like a path, and you're not in a harness. You're just holding onto a bar that's carabinered onto like
30 feet in the air?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Three and stories, then, and they don't harness you in?
You're not harnessed. That's you
with,
run.
With huge. Muddy people yes. touching the handles
you,
all day long.
Huge you can, like, risk. You can, like, use a towel. And then you go down and
that's
then,
their
and
safety
then,
net.
And then the ending is just, like, you just start running, and then you catch yourself on the ground.
That's crazy.
And the girl behind me fell, like, near the end of the thing, but she still, like, hit the ground rolling. And I'm like... Well, I'm like, she just died or something.
I'd like to read their waiver.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, you're high. It was high. and there wasn't really, like, too much to slow you down. It was just like you just kind of brace yourself with the... I mean, some of those obstacles were kind of dangerous. Really? There was like, a thing where you have free-floating, like, steps on ropes. So kind of like a rope bridge, but the... It's not connected mm-hmm. on the bottom. So, you know, I mean, it's like a rope bridge, but there's nothing connecting each individual piece of wood on right. the bridge to each other except for the handles on the top, you know, what's holding them up. And so you're going across that. It's kind of, well, one of the people behind me, I guess one of the pieces of wood, like, broke while she was on it, and she had this abrasion, like, upper arm from, like, grabbing onto the rope and catching it. It was crazy. I had bruises on me, like, in the weeks afterwards where I'm like, I didn't know you could bruise. I don't know how this happened. Like, I don't know how the bruise happened here.
But the bottom line is, they're really fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Aside from all the injuries, it's a lot of fun.
It's so funny because I look at all these other runs out there. And I look from the standpoint of getting sued. That's always how I look at it.
Yeah.
And so, it's like, the Quad Cities, we have the color run. Mm. Someone, COPD, is going to die in that thing because you're just throwing colored flour and people are breathing that in. I'm thinking, that's going to happen. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen.
Someone's going to die in that thing.
And then I think they have another one coming where they do... inflatables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's going to be called the Broken Arm 2000. that scares me too.
To run on inflatables, I would rather be out in the mud.
Yeah.
Like, it is so hard. Exhausting. Yeah. And, like, it's made for kids. Inflatables aren't made for, like, 250-pound, 6'2" guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, and...
That's why I said these things scare me. And I just know because someone's going to get sued some of these days. And I don't know the color run. God bless their heart. They do. I mean, people love them, and they do
yeah.
great.
Yep.
And I wish I thought of it. You know, but I just think all that cloud of smoke in the air. You'd think someone would like just have something would happen. You know, right. someone with asthma running in or something,
right?
Or
right.
a bystander, but
right. you know. Well, someone thought, what if we just threw colored cornstarch at people's faces as they were running 3 miles, and then we'll make tons of money that way. Like, someone had to
and
think of
happened.
That idea.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Well,
genius.
The internet is full of people that take these things to the extreme, like, and they're making fun of it. Like, there's one out there called the Broken Glass 5K where you have to run it in bare feet. I mean, it's not a real thing, but that's there. People are like, well, what's going to be next? Because everyone
right.
wants to push the envelope.
Right. How far are we going to go?
Yeah.
How much is too much danger? You know. And then you know when they have the live electrical wires, I'm thinking, really? That's a real thing.
Yeah.
They have a live Top Runner does that, and I guess it's like some of them aren't electrified. Some might be 10 volts. Some might be 100 volts.
No kidding.
You don't know
my brother just did one. It was out by Orion, I think, or Lido. And he did one, and they had electrified fence that you had to crawl under, or go jump over. And he said that he got zapped, and he goes, and I think I blacked out for a second. He goes, I don't know what happened. And, you know, I felt it, but then I'm like, where am I? He had to think for a second. So that doesn't do much for me. That's what I told him. I said that doesn't now running through the mud or going over a big obstacle, or something like that would be. I don't like to be electrified.
Well, they have fire. They have live fire in a lot of these places. You can just, like, here's a pit of fire. Jump over.
See, I don't mind, like, if you jump over, like, a small, like thing. But then when they have you like sliding through a ring made out of fire, like what if you fall? You know, like what if you?
What if you're in a zip line and 30 feet up in the air? That's the hardest.
No, would you rather have a broken bone or a burn?
Neither.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather have a broken bone than have like a burn all over me.
I'd hate to go home to my wife and say, "Hey, I paid $185 to have someone hurt me."
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can rent Shades of Grey for $2.99 and see what it's like to have someone hurt
Call
you.
It good. Well, Chris, we've got three questions that we ask all of our guests.
Very good.
First question is, what is your favorite, and I might know the answer to this, favorite current TV show?
The only show I really watch religiously is Survivor. I enjoy that show tremendously.
And you've watched it since the inception, since it started? So yeah. How many seasons are we into now?
They just finished 30. They're filming 32. 31's done already.
Jeez.
Yep.
So I haven't watched for a long time, but I used to watch religiously. Mm-hmm. But I haven't watched for a while. But like the finale of Survivor was before the Letterman finale, and so I caught the last tail end of that. And they were choosing people to be on the next season.
Yes, in fact, my son, who is a Cub Scout in pack, which one is it, buddy? This is your one chance that you actually can talk.
127.
Yeah,
the
boy.
No, 129.
129.
And I'm gonna talk for the rest of the time now.
Now, my son met last year at a charity event called Give Kids the World. It's kind of like Kids with a Wish.
Mm-hmm.
He met Spencer Bledsoe, who was fourth place on his season a year ago. So it'd be like four Survivor seasons because they do two a year.
Yeah.
He met Spencer Bledsoe down there and got a picture taken with him. And when his show was being aired, Jason, that was his hero.
Yeah.
You know, he always did his lots of really cool things, and Jason really looked up to him. Well, Spencer was up for what they call second chance. So what they did, they gave a list of 30 players, and you get a vote on them. The top 20 got to go play.
Cool.
And Jace went to his class and gave the URL, said, I want you to vote. Help me vote Spencer back in.
Wow.
And at the reunion show, after they got done talking about this last season, they announced the results of the live voting, and I let Jay stay up till 10 o'clock against my good better wishes to see if Spencer made it in. And the last three left, there was spots for two of them, and Spencer was the last guy they called that got into the show.
No, wow. Kidding.
So my son knows somebody that's on the show right now. His name is Spencer Bledsoe. He's an awesome guy. He's 23 years old. He lives in Chicago, so he's kind of a local guy.
Yeah.
And he was a good role model for kids the first time. You never know how it's going to be. I always tell people,
sure,
you watch the show, don't believe everything you see in the show, because sometimes people act differently when they're out in the elements.
Yeah.
But out in the real world, he's a good guy.
Sure.
And we had sent him a note on Facebook a couple times saying, hey, you need to do whatever it takes to win. And even if that means voting off someone you trust or like. Because you're probably not going to get another chance, because this will be your second time on the show, and how many people play more than twice?
Right, once.
Right. That's right.
So Jace is very excited about the upcoming season, and they're filming in Cambodia. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be... So,
have you met anybody from the first couple seasons?
I've probably met 20 or 30 of them so far.
Wow.
In fact, one of my very, very close friends, his name is Travis Sampson. He was known as Bubba. He was on Survivor Vanuatu. He's the guy that wore the orange Bob Barker shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very close friend of mine.
Wow.
Yep, I've known him for 8 years, 9 years now. Great guy. I like him a lot. Let's see, some of the people, I've met Rupert a bunch of times. Everyone knows Rupert. I met Sandra. She's won twice. I met her a couple times. Mm-hmm. She's a really nice lady, smart gal. Doesn't get enough credit for what she's done. She's actually a very smart, smart person.
Hmm.
Some of the more interesting people, I met Coach Wade. He was the guy they called the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah,
he's just like what he was on TV is how he is in real life. Some more interesting people that didn't get as much airtime. Bobby Mason was on. I can't think of his what was his season? I can't remember his season. Him and Bruce Kanai. They were the two guys that spent the night in the outhouse together to avoid the rain.
Was Bruce the one that had to get off the show because he was so constipated
He had, a blockage in his colon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was...
He was cool. Bruce like, was... I was sad when they had to, take him off the show. He had a medical emergency.
I'm surprised they have not asked him back. He actually had his... He had a shoulder replacement surgery. Otherwise, he's been at every finale to greet the new survivors. Bruce is one of the most interesting, cool guys you'll ever come across. He is into a lot of different things. He's got internet businesses he does. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance to follow him on Facebook, he posts every day, like, what he had for dinner, where he went and played golf, and what he's going to be preparing for his wife at night. I mean, he's just a really great, nice guy. In fact, my degree is military history, and when he found out about that, he sent me a book. His dad was one of the few Japanese Americans that served for the United States in World War II.
Wow.
Sent me a book about his father and the division he was in the army.
That's cool, because the Japanese were interred. Some Japanese were interred on the
West Coast.
Were interred during World War II. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, Bruce sent me that. Bruce and Bob are really good friends. I wish I could remember the name of their show. Exile Island, maybe, or Redemption Island. I can't remember. I think it was Exile. But so yeah, those guys are some of my really cool guys I talked to. Trying to think. Chris Daughtry, he won Vanuatu. His wife is actually way bigger into Survivor than he is now. She helps run a website a Facebook page that there's thousands and thousands of Survivor members are part of. So,
wow.
But yeah, I talk to a lot of them. I mean, there's not many of them I don't talk to. I know another one, the local one from Iowa that won, Denise Stapley.
Mm-hmm.
I actually used to work with her brother at State Farm.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it was really neat because during the course of the season, she never gave me any spoilers, but she, after each episode would end, if I had questions about what happened, I'd send her a note on Facebook and she'd write me back and say, oh, well, here's what we were thinking here and here's what actually happened. Here's some stuff you didn't see. Great gal. That's super cool. Nice gal. She's like 5 foot nothing. She's like I don't even know if she's 100 pounds. She's just a tiny, tiny little gal. Yeah, super nice gal. Super nice.
You know, a lot of people don't realize Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who's on Fox News, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. She started on Survivor. She was on season 2. Her name was Elizabeth Filarski. And she was like second or third place that season. I guess she would be the third or fourth. She was in the final four, I think, in Outback. Because I can't remember who won. That Tina was the name of the winner that season.
That was the scene that Colby Donaldson dominated the show. And then he took Tina Weston to the end. It was Colby, Tina, Keith, Famy, the chef. And I don't know if Elizabeth was fourth or not. But yeah, that was that whole season was kind of a weird season. Because that was the first time that Survivor was like known in the mainstream because it was a summer thing. But they premiered it after the Super Bowl, so the whole world watched it.
Yeah.
So their season is probably more well known than the first one was, which is interesting because they had not seen the first one, so they were still trying to figure out how to play the game. Whereas the first one set the tone for. How it was played.
And that's I think that we might have talked about this on Tom's podcast, where that first season of Survivor, they were surviving. You know, like they were, or, you know, essentially, the like game. And they would show camp life, and they would show them, you know, messing around or fishing and stuff like that. And then by the last couple seasons that I was watching, it was more all strategy, who's going to be in alliance with who. And they would do the different competitions. Yeah. They go back to camp, and it was who are we going against this time? And they show a lot more of that. And I haven't seen the show in a while, but I don't remember as much like camp life stuff. But I have the first season on DVD, and I used to watch that before Netflix. You know, you just watch your DVDs, and it just seemed to be a lot more a focus on the actual like. Survivor aspect. Now, they also gave him a lot more stuff back then. They gave him crates of...
Well, it's interesting. BB, who's now passed away, who's on the first season of Survivor, he's a multimillionaire. And I have one of the... I won't name his name because just in case someone hears this and they want to say something, I don't want to name names. But one of the guys I know that was on the first season said, we were out there 3 days and BB was like trying to bribe cameraman and say, let's go, I want to get out of here. Get me out of here now. Because he was like, he didn't, I don't think he related to the young people very well.
Yeah.
And the situations, you know, and of course, that's what they wanted. They wanted to see how people break down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, the first season was 16 Americans from all over the United States. That's my only pet peeve with the show is that there's 16 people from all over the United States. Now it's 9 people from California and a smattering of people from. Yeah. That's how it is. But it's also not surviving, it's Jeff Probst has been very, very clear about how he sees the show. He always sees it as a social experiment. So I don't think he really views it as surviving the elements. Mm-hmm. Because I think after the first two seasons, they realized no one's going to die out here.
You know? Season two, that guy fell into a fire.
Yeah, it's Michael Sukin, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what they're saying is that people will figure out how to survive. Right. Now it's not how do you survive, it's how do you get to the end and have people vote for you.
Yeah.
And that's always what Jeff has wanted it to be. And if you've watched Jeff through the seasons, he's gone for this guy as a spectator to an active participant in everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he urges people on. He'll call people out. He'll ask pointed questions. You know, I've been told that those tribal councils that you watch on TV for 3 minutes can last an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Until
he gets what he wants. You also got to realize that you're watching 40 minutes of television and 20 minutes of commercials. Yeah. Those 40 minutes of television, there's 72 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 days. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that can take place, and you know they have a story to tell. And that's just it. Editing, I don't know how editing does it.
Yeah.
Because they more or less, I would think, and this is just guessing on my part, they have to watch, okay, who won? All right, now we need to make a storyline of how this person got here.
Right.
And if you look at who won this last year, it was Mike. Mike was the winner. And it started off the first few episodes, they talked about Mike and Dan, and then Mike kind of went away for a while. And they talked about Rodney, because this guy named Rodney was more vocal and more of a magnet.
Yeah.
And so they focused on him, and then they got to the merge, and it was like all about Mike. So they had to do something. For the longest time I'm watching the show, I'm thinking, man, I have no idea what's going on here, because it just seems like they're all over the place. And it's because Mike won all the challenges at the end. He was never really in any danger ever. Mm-hmm. So they had to find another way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing in editing. You know, editing has to figure out a way to tell you a story to keep you watching. What's going to happen with this? Who's going to are these guys going to go at it? You know, with any season, you have to have a yin and a yang, or there's got to be some sort of
balance.
Exactly.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Soon.
Yeah. So we'll go on to our next. We'll go to our next question.
Okay.
If you had to start all over and you had to have your dream job, but it couldn't be what you're doing now, what would you do?
Oh, I'd love to be on the show. That'd be my dream. My dream job is, I mean, it's not really a job, though. It's a one-time experience. It's not a job. You know, I guess I should say it this way. I'm living my dream job. I got to figure out a new job in 10 years when he graduates.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, of all my friends, they've all said there's nothing I wouldn't give to trade place with you. You know, you'd be the number one influence in your kid's life.
Yeah.
And I am, you know. And you can see what a great job I'm doing getting him to listen to me. But, I haven't missed anything. You know,
yeah.
I have to say I'm doing my dream job, you know. If I had a chance to be on Survivor, I'd love it. You know, I don't mind the attention, but yeah, I think what I'm doing is probably suited for me right now.
Cool.
You know what our listeners don't know is that we just rescued 10 ducks from a sewer drain.
It was our own version of Survivor.
Yeah,
minus the drama.
And by we, I mean Dan Moore. Ian and I lifted a sewer grate off of the ground, which we're not anywhere prepared. We're both going to be sore tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Dan Moore dug his hand into a sewer grate. So
got the
but Chris, since you got to experience that was one.
You know, it's neat. You see your own version of Survivor. I keep thinking it's more like there's a show called Pirate Master that was done by the same guy that did Survivor. And at the end of the show, they cut them adrift. I'm thinking all those ducks, as they one by one walked through that grate, they were all been cut adrift. And the mom's walking around the two remaining ducks, and she's like, "It's too late for you."
The minute we came out to help, the mom was like, "Peace."
Yeah, I'm up.
So good luck with that.
Well, if you could meet anyone, past, present, fictional, dead, alive, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Nikola Tesla.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about him lately, and I think it'd be interesting to see, or actually hear, what he would have to say about today's technology and how he would expand upon it.
Yeah.
Because he was not an American. Americans really idolized Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
From that era. But they were both from the same era, and people are still using Nikola Tesla's ideas to this day. I mean, they just came out with 3 weeks ago with a way to charge everything in your home by an idea he had come up with, because he's the one that created the alternate current for electricity.
Yeah.
So I'd love to sit down and eat with him. Unfortunately, he didn't. He was known not to eat very much. He was a very bland diet. So, and but the cool thing is, you'd have that meal could go on forever because he was also known not to sleep more than a couple hours a day.
No kidding.
So, but I think it'd be cool to see his take on how things are with the way they are today.
How far it's advanced in.
Yeah. I'd love to run his Facebook page because, you know, I'd have to let him know that in today's society, everyone's about themselves.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we had a guest in here a couple weeks ago who was talking about Edison and Tesla. And
yeah.
He was saying, like, I'm reading a book on the Chicago World's Fair. And he was saying that Tesla was designing parts of the fair. Like, he was designing the electrical grids for the fair, but because he was the one doing it, Edison wouldn't let them use the light bulb because he had the patent.
Yeah.
So then Tesla just invented the light bulb.
Yeah.
And that's how we have, like, these...
The fluorescent.
Fluorescent lights. And he's just like, you know, I'll just invent a light bulb. So I think that Tesla is definitely underrated in American culture. I think that he's had a huge impact that we... He's, don't know as much about.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a resurgence in popularity since the late 90s now, because people are like, wow, he had these thoughts, you know, in the 1920s.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. It's like there's a lot of interesting things about him. If you have time, just even just a few minutes, just look at his wiki page. That's awesome. So.
That's a pretty cool.
Yeah, and David Bowie played him in that magic movie.
Yes. What was it called?
Prestige.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So I mean, if David Bowie gets to play you,
and they had a band in the 80s or 90s that was named
Tesla. Yeah, him. He's also in the movie Tomorrowland.
Oh,
is he?
Yeah, he's still a wax statue of him, but they talk about him.
We haven't seen that one.
It just came out not too long ago.
I highly recommend it for anyone that likes good sci-fi, but don't bring your kids because my son was really confused. Talks about alternate dimensions and things like that.
Right.
But it's really very interesting.
And then they also have sports cars. Tesla has a...
Yeah.
So it's named after him. So.
Man, I know that we could talk with Chris the rest of the day.
I'm pretty sure we could.
Talked with him part of the day already.
I warned you before we came here.
His son was bored after about 2 minutes. Nothing could beat rescuing the ducks out of the sewer.
Yeah.
But... Chris, thank you very much
yes.
for sitting down with us today. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I can't wait to get the word out because I know there's a lot of people that would want to hear about.
We could get a bus to go to Louisville.
Well, you know, we could probably do something for the scouts at their camp, and then I can teach you guys how to do that. And
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think we can have a lot of fun with it.
Yep.
Well, next time we come here, we'll cover the next 10% of my life.
Yeah. Well, now that when we turn the mic off, we're going to ask you the questions about the people that you didn't. You were like, I can't talk about this person, but so we're going to find all that out.
You get the real scoop.
Well, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.